And we welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Quincy Yaley, Tuolumne County Community Development Director, on this weekend show. A big topic of discussion is the Climate Action Plan that was recently endorsed by the Planning Commission, soon going to the Board of Supervisors. Kind of getting an overview today about what that plan is and why it was being developed here, or is being developed in Tuolumne County. Quincy Yaley, next question I'll ask you is in regards to, you know, its impacts. What kind of impacts would you say it has on local residents, and what kind of impacts does it have like on developers and future projects?
Sure. Thanks, BJ. Well, we can start with future projects. That's a bit more narrow. So future projects can use the Climate Action Plan document to demonstrate compliance with state laws. There's also specific emissions thresholds in the Climate Action Plan. These are GHG emission thresholds that projects can use to demonstrate a less than significant impact during their environmental review. That's required by the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, as we say. For residents, they can expect that during reviews of the Board of Supervisors' strategic plan, staff will be using that opportunity to highlight any work already being done that's complementary to the Climate Action Plan, or ask for direction on projects not yet to be implemented. As a result of this process, the Climate Action Plan, the county isn't passing any new ordinance codes. If a future action item is warranted that it needs an ordinance code change, direction would have to come from the board to do so in the future. And of course, that would require public input and public hearings.
And you mentioned CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. For people who are unfamiliar, what exactly is that?
Sure. This is a state law that requires environmental review of projects prior to approval by our Board of Supervisors. Our Community Development Department is required to do these CEQA reviews on development projects. And moving forward, that's going to be evaluating greenhouse gas emissions from a project. So that could be from the cars and the transport, you know, the car emissions from someone traveling to that project or something on the site that's creating a GHG emission. We're also required to do a compliance review with GHG policies, and that would be a climate action plan. That's also required to be evaluated under CEQA.
You know, the Climate Action Plan is a pretty long document. You touched on some of the highlights, but can you give us kind of a summary of what it all includes?
Sure. The Climate Action Plan describes existing legislation and efforts that are aimed at addressing climate change, as well as summarizes the county's baseline GHG emissions, which come from a variety of sectors. It presents a forecast of future emissions. We call that business as usual, what those emissions may be in the future, and it identifies the county's emission reduction targets. Those are talked a little bit about how those targets are in response to the Tuolumne County General Plan as well as state laws. An overview of the climate adaptation planning process and a summary of the county's climate change vulnerability assessment are also in the document. The core of the document is the reduction and adaptation strategies and measures, as well as the implementation program. This is how we're going to be monitoring and updating the climate action plan in the future with the board.
We're talking about the Climate Action Plan on this weekend's Motherlode Views. And it seems like it was about a year ago we had you on Motherlode Views, and you mentioned that there was going to be a meeting coming up. I know during one of the segments talking about various different things, you said the Climate Action Plan. So I know it's been kind of a lengthy review process. Can you explain a little bit about how you receive public input for this plan?
Sure. We've been working on this project for about 2 years. And in May of 2022, we put a draft version of the Climate Action Plan out for public comment. That was available from May 2nd to June 15th. During that time, we also made presentations to the Board of Supervisors Planning Committee and the Board of Supervisors Natural Resources Committee. At the conclusion of that 45-day comment period, we received letters from one public agency, 5 organizations, and 42 individuals. All of these comments are available on the project webpage. So if you go to the county's homepage and in the search bar at the top, type in Climate Action Plan, the first response that returns is a direct link to the project webpage. And so we've got all the summaries that we received from the public, information about past meetings we've had, as well as a number of focus papers on several of the more key issues that have come up since the public review process.
So what type of input did you receive from the public?
So we've proposed modifications to the document as a result of the comments that were received. Some revisions are merely just to clarify the proposed actions and focus them, but some new action items were also added. And I just want to stress that the entire document was prepared in response to the input we received from the public throughout the process. We added an entire new section during this overall work that addressed the vulnerability of the county to climate-related events such as drought, heat, and catastrophic wildfire. And this vulnerability assessment also was used to focus the list of action items that staff is proposing to implement from the document. It was a part of our scoring criteria. We needed to know what was the community response or expected community response to some of the action items. If it was going to be too difficult to implement here at the local level, it received a lower score. But that public outreach process helped focus the list of proposed items that the staff is going to be moving forward with should the project be approved.
So if this is approved by the Board of Supervisors in about a month, you know, what is kind of the implementation plan?
So the implementation plan in the document is called the prioritization matrix. It's really a work plan, and it's a list of 29 or so action items that are going to be implemented moving forward. We'll be working on that list, and reports will be made back to the board periodically. I know there's been a concern about funding and staff time that's available for this climate action plan should it be adopted, and those constraints will be continually relayed to the public and the board to make sure that staff is receiving the correct direction on where the implementation of the climate action plan fits into our other workload and county business. So the good thing is that going back to that scoring I was talking about is that the climate action plan does give essentially the county credit for projects we already have underway. And so a lot of the things moving forward will be just continuing actions that we're already doing, such as our CAO's office has been doing an amazing job partnering with local groups such as Yosemite Stanislaus Solutions in dealing with forest resiliency, which plays a huge role in climate change. So continuing efforts in those fields and other projects that we're already working on will be recognized as implementation of the CAP.
You know, a big question, I think, for many people in the community, if this does pass, you know, how do you envision that the climate action plan will be used in the future?
So, you know, on the staff level, what we'll be doing is taking those action items that scored the highest, and we're going to begin working on those. And as I mentioned, some of those are already in progress, especially those related to forest resiliency. So some things may be new projects, and some things may just be tying existing work to the climate action plan. The backside of this process is that the state consistently passes laws and programs that our county locally either has to qualify for. And so having an approved climate action plan is a criteria that I see would be used for future funding or other programs. So it will help us qualify for new opportunities that may come up in the future.
You know, as you mentioned, this has been about a two-year process to get to this point. You know, what would you say that you've kind of, the biggest thing you've learned as community development director throughout this process?
So I would say the biggest thing that I've learned is that the word climate change is a phrase that evokes a lot of passion from our residents. And for me, after listening to the public, it's really clear that our residents are worried about the threat of fire to our county and the lack of rainfall and its impact on water supply. So as county staff, it's not just our job to translate those priorities into the climate action plan, but to continually communicate to the public what is the county doing to address these issues. That's really on our staff to make sure that residents know that we hear them and that we're doing what we can to address their concerns. It also means that we want to be working very closely with our board members to continually communicate these concerns that we hear from the public. So on this project, it's been really great because our board members have participated in our workshops, and we've taken the projects to their various committees, the Planning Committee, the Natural Resources Committee. We've been to those at least 8 times. So they've had that additional opportunity to hear from the public. I think one of my favorite comments from this project at some point someone said, I don't want to talk about climate change. I want to talk about fire and drought. And I was like, perfect. So do we. That's what we want to talk about. And so the takeaway to our staff is to make sure that, number one, we're really listening to the public, and two, that we're communicating how their concerns are incorporated in the plan. It really is about communication. And as a result of the public comment period, our staff drafted several focus papers that address those specific topics that I've been heard as repeated concerns from the public.
So the next step is taking this plan to the Board of Supervisors for review. Do you know when that's going to be?
Right now, we're aiming for September 20th. Agendas always can change before they're posted. So I would just urge everyone to stay tuned. If you're interested in this project and you're not on our email list, that's a project-specific email list, feel free to, again, you can go to the county homepage and just type in my name and you'll get my contact information. But my phone number is 209-533-5961. It will take your email address and we'll get you signed up for notices about meetings. The best way to stay informed, though, is to log into the county website and sign up for the automated process that will push out agendas and other notices to you. That is really the best way for the public to stay informed, not just of this project, but any other county project.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Quincy Yaley, Tuolumne County Community Development Director, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.